another fight.
Cool. Right.
Yo, what is going on, guys? This is Connor, and welcome back to The Prophecy, a We the People sports production. Today, I'm joined by Ryan.
Sheehan.
What? Yeah. That too. And Sam.
It's like saying Sheen, bro. It's just Sheen.
I don't know why. It just looks a little odd. It's
yeah, it's just, for those of you that don't know or somehow don't follow him on Twitter, it's his last name is spelled S-H-E-E-H-A-N.
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
Oh my god, yo.
Okay, so big week of NFL this past week. We had what I believe is going to be the NFC Championship preview in the Saints and Rams at 4:30. And then we had the matchup that everyone wants to see in the Super Bowl, but we will likely never get, Brady Rodgers. Two amazing games. The Rams and Saints game, it looked like the Saints were going to run away with it. And then the Rams came back under Jared Goff. And then Drew Brees did Drew Brees things and just kind of sealed the game with a Michael Thomas 72-yard touchdown. What did you guys think about this game? Because for me, this kind of just proved everything that I've thought the past couple weeks, that the Rams defense is not all that great. And for somehow they should easily have one of the best defenses, arguably in NFL history, just based off the names. But they are just underperforming on defense, and their offense can't save them when other teams are putting up 45.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could look – I mean, they're really good at causing turnovers, but then – I mean, you also remember you gotta face, you're facing the New Orleans Saints, which I feel like they put up 40 points every game for, like, the past 10 years now. And the athletes they have, like Kamara and Michael Thomas and even – backing up to that, you got Ingram and who's that dude on the inside for the Saints? The slot
on the inside, Willie Snead.
No, that's
the he's gone. Yeah.
Let me look.
Oh yeah, he is.
Blah 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 blah, blah 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 blah.
Okay.
This wow, is bothering me too.
Wide receiver Austin Carr. Oh, I wish he was still on the Patriots. Michael Thomas, Traquan Smith, Cameron.
I'm thinking Josh Hill. They keep bringing on these weird little.
Oh, the tight end. Okay.
Is he? No.
Josh Hill.
About Josh Hill, the quarterback. Well, he's like a tight end. He's like
Taysom. Taysom Hill.
Let me see.
Taysom. Oh, Taysom Hill's a quarterback. Yeah. There's a Taysom Hill and
Taysom Hill is the guy you're talking about. Number 7, he's quarterback. That's the guy you're talking about. He plays like every position at this
point. Yeah, and he came out of he's from Brigham Young, and he's a quarterback, and they keep like throwing him in these super odd like formations, but it works a lot of the time. They did something weird with him the other day too.
He's a very unique player. They put him on kick returns, they put him in the backfield. They put him at tight end. They basically play him everywhere except, like, the defense. He's just, like, very versatile.
Yeah, he's a quick little booger, too. And I thought that also Benjamin Watson had an awesome game. It's cool to see him do well with his past success with Tom Brady.
Yeah, the game was just really fun to watch. It was it was honestly what I expected New England and Green Bay to be in a sense of a shootout. But Drew Brees was just – Drew Brees had a Drew Brees game.
Mm-hmm.
And
– I feel like that's every game, though, for him.
Yeah, like, personally, as a Patriots fan and as a Tom Brady lover, Drew Brees is the greatest passing quarterback of all time for me.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing – there is not a throw that he cannot make consistently day in and day out.
Yeah, I think you know what's funny? I think the over-under on this game, I don't even know if I could find it right now, but the over-under I think was like 58, I think, and they basically almost reached it in the first half. I was like, Jesus Christ. I mean, they ended up, what, scoring 70, 80 points in this game? That's crazy.
Yeah, the over-under was – it's not going to show me on ESPN. No, over under was 58.
Oh, okay, cool. I had it right. Yeah, so if you're a betting man that day, you obviously would have took the over.
Yeah, and they were short by two touchdowns in the first half.
Yeah, so
that's.
I think another thing. I think Todd Gurley didn't have the greatest of games either. I thought the New Orleans. I mean, obviously, looking at the score, there's 80 points on the board, but I think the Saints did a great job with controlling Todd Gurley, and they really don't have another option running the ball besides those weird routes.
To be fair, if that is any other running back in the backfield, 16 carries, 68 yards, and a touchdown is a great game. But the fact that it's Todd Gurley.
Right? You expect at least 40 fantasy points from him.
Honestly, in the fact that they were able to contain him to under 70 yards and force Jared Goff to pass, which he did incredibly well.
Y'all think Jared Goff really is good? Helped.
I think he is upper tier in the sense of core. I'd say he's top 10, honestly, pushing top 7.
See, this is what I think about Jared Goff. When it comes to being like a top quarterback, there's like different tiers. I want to put Brady, Rodgers, and Breeze in their own league right now.
Yeah, that's
they're just like in their own tier. So if we're talking about top tier, those three are already out of the question. This is a different tier. I'd put Jared Goff as one of the best in, I guess you could say, the second tier, like the second highest tier. He's definitely up there with Wentz and Brady Rodgers. They can't touch Brady Rodgers and Breeze right now. There's just no way.
I think he gets talked about a lot too. I obviously gets overshadowed by Todd Gurley, but he's extremely young, and for the most part, he's been successful. He hasn't really had any crazy like Nathan Peterman games.
He really hasn't, and he's gotten better every season. It's been crazy to watch him just keep climbing.
Because then you have that whole thing, like the same with New England. Is it Belichick? So is it freaking Shanahan? McVay. Oh, McVay, yeah. Is it McVay, you know, which everybody lauds as a genius. So it's like it's hard to play that card when you know everybody plays it on New England.
Yeah, say, I think Jared Goff, if he has the potential to be great. He just needs to keep at it. And he's really going to be tested if he loses some targets and other weapons on offense.
Yeah, right now he looks awesome with Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp and who else? Robert Woods. They throw Todd Gurley.
He's got everything you want as a young quarterback.
Can we just bring up that run that Malcolm Brown had the other day though, when he tiptoed down the sideline?
That was his only. He was off a catch though, right?
Yeah, that was when Jared Goff threw it off to the left to Brown. It was just kind of an unreal play. How, like the hand eye on that run was just unreal.
It looked like he like randomly like bounced somehow was able his body just bounced back in bounds because his momentum was taking him out. I don't know. That was crazy though. I had that look at it a couple times.
Scary athletic.
Unreal hand eye on that. Like I don't think people really understand how difficult that was.
Yeah. Because
okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So that I don't forget about this, I just got a notification that the Saints are in contract works with Dez Bryant.
Yep.
Yeah, he worked out with them this morning. That's going to happen. So now the Saints are going to get better, and they're going to be even more of a threat.
Yeah, but how do you get that much better than the Saints already are? I mean, it's like you're just going to take away – you're going to take away receptions from Michael Thomas. I mean it makes sense. Like, you know, obviously that player makes sense.
I feel like Michael Thomas was in a position that, like, Rob Gronkowski or Julian Edelman were in, but if only one of them is on the field before the Patriots added Josh Gordon. He's just taking away a double team. And that's going to give Michael Thomas and Dez Bryant on the outside one-on-one with Austin Carr, Ted Ginn Jr. at the slot.
Yeah, you know what's funny with the – go ahead, Gian.
I wouldn't sleep on Ted Ginn either.
No, that dude's one of the fastest guys in the league.
I just would not sleep on him at all. You put him – you line him up. It's exactly what you just said. You have Dez take away that double team, and you basically have a one-on-one on both sides. People aren't really going to worry – like, you'll worry about Austin Carr, but the one you really got to worry about is Ted Ginn. He's just so fast. He'll open it up on you. Just throw it downfield. He'll get it.
Yeah. You know what's funny is Dez Bryant – So this is leading into week 10. Let's say he does get signed and goes into week 10. He hasn't played most of the
– He'll probably have a week.
That's what – it's like, what do you expect from Dez Bryant right now? I've always been on the Dez Bryant train that he's awesome. I think the Cowboys were so dumb for dumping him because they didn't want to pay him an extra couple million.
Yeah, and then they went and traded for Amari Cooper, who they're going to have to pay.
Yeah, and they gave up a first-round pick. So it's like at the end of the day, you just did the same thing to get back what you already had.
Yep.
But Dez Bryant-wise, I don't know what you can expect from him. I don't know he has to have been working out, you know. But he hasn't gotten game time action either.
That's going to be interesting to see how quick.
Say that again, Sheehan.
He won't play right away. There's just no doubt.
What do you mean?
You can't. He's not going to sign this week, and you can't really say you expect him to play that much this week.
Amari Cooper did.
First of all, he has to learn the system.
Amari Cooper signed during the bye week.
Look at it this way. If you look at Jason Garrett and Peyton, I think Garrett's just one of the most overrated coaches in the league, so he doesn't really know what he's doing. But if Dez Bryant, since he hasn't even been playing at all this season, he hasn't played at all, why would they just throw him in and expect him to go out there and, you know, just, like, perform like he did before?
Well, obviously, he's not going to put him in there for the full playbook. It's obviously his playbook is going to be – he's never been in another organization before besides Dallas, so the playbook is going to be extremely limited to him. But I promise you, if – say they sign tomorrow, which is what's tomorrow, Wednesday?
So, yep.
Wednesday, he arrives in New Orleans – gets the playbook. I bet you Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they bring up some specialty plays where he's in on.
It's going to be like Josh Gordon.
No, that's what I'm not expecting him to, like, you know, go out there and play the whole game. I think he's going to be very limited, but, like, I don't, like, when I'm saying my definition of playing is, like, you know, he's going to be, like, a starter, and he's going to be in the whole game. Like, he's like, it's going to be what Connor just said. It's basically going to be Josh Gordon. He has to learn the system first. He's just not going to get, like, thrown in there and expect to know what's going on.
I don't think he's going to get 12 receptions for 211 yards either.
I don't think Dez Bryant's going to get 12 receptions for 211 yards anyway.
That's so crazy, that stat line from Michael Thomas. That has to be 50-plus fantasy points.
I have him on my fantasy.
Yeah, another name that never gets mentioned when you talk about top receivers in the league. Him and DeAndre Hopkins get snubbed.
I don't think DeAndre Hopkins gets snubbed.
Not DeAndre Hopkins, no. Yeah,
but when you're talking about top receiver in the league, what are the two that always come to mind? Julio and AB.
Yeah, but that's fact, though.
And you're talking about Odell. Like, people bring up DeAndre Hopkins all the time. Like, the true fans know who the best players are. Like, honestly, like, if it's me, top three, it's going to be, like, Julio, DeAndre, and probably AB. But, like, I don't know. I think Hopkins is just, like, so uberly talented. Like, AB is just, like, super fast, so, like, he can get open. But, like, when it comes to actual, like, technique to be, like, a wide receiver, I think, like, Julio and Hopkins are, like, the best with
that. You know what's funny is one of my professors was getting his doctorate at Alabama when Julio was there. And he said he used to, you know, run all these, you know, exercise tests on him and whatnot. He said that Julio was the – and I don't want to, like, if Julio is listening to this,
Julio Jones listens to this podcast on a weekly basis.
But he said Julio Jones is about the dumbest person you'll ever meet in your entire life. Like, when he says, like, they had a person that would be with him that would make sure he would get to where he needed to get to. Like, he couldn't tell you what 2 + 2 was, but he can play football. Like, that's how it was.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? You're at Alabama and you have a person.
Yeah, and
that...
you go to the University of Alabama.
He's not there to do school, that's for sure.
No, I just thought, and he literally had a person that was had to chauffeur him around and get him place to place because he just couldn't do it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but I think this Saints Rams game is definitely your NFC playoff matchup for sure, which is going to be awesome to see.
And I think this is the year that Breeze gets back, because the Rams don't – I don't think they have enough playoff experience yet to go – I guess it kind of also depends on where they're going to play. If the Rams lose enough – if they all both went out, they have to play in the Superdome.
Oh, yeah. And you know what's funny is, like, why would they want to, like, go back and play in the freaking – the Rams Coliseum, like the USC – the you know –
Yeah, where they're not even going to sell out.
Yeah, their new stadium is going to be ridiculous, the one that they're sharing with the Chargers. But, like, who cares about this freaking – I'd rather hear it in the freaking Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
That could end up being game of the year because I just have a feeling – because I think it's going to be a Brady Breeze Super Bowl. And I think it's going to end up how Brady Rodgers did this past week. I think it's going to be relatively close. And then the Patriots are just kind of going to walk away. Not walk away with it, but they're going to, like, win it in the last quarter.
Everybody knock on wood right now.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. But I think the Saints-Rams is going to be kind of how – Saints Vikings was this past year, and it's going to come down to a Hail Mary.
Well, don't we say this like every year about Drew Brees? Yeah. Like, hey, this is the year that, you know, it's like it's always been the year for him. He just never gets past that hump, and it's not like he never plays well. The dude always balls out. It's just like an unfortunate circumstances each time, each year.
Yeah, like Stephon Diggs makes one of the greatest catches in playoff history off of one of the worst mistakes by a defensive player in
Marshall Lattimore history.
Like, I don't know how, like, Drew Brees has just gotten so unlucky recently.
I really
want a Brady Brees or a Brady Rogers Super Bowl before Brady retires.
Yeah, you would hope so. Where is it at this year? Atlanta?
Atlanta. If the Patriots going, I will be there.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. You know, the tickets are so expensive.
But it'll be the cheapest one I could ever go to because I wouldn't have to pay for flight or hotel.
That's true. All right, what's the next game we're talking about? The Pats?
Yep, Pats-Packers. It was just great game from the Patriots textbook.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they did what the Patriots team should always do. We're not going to touch on the Patriots defense because that's a touchy subject with We the People Sports right now. But just really all around, Josh Gordon looks like he's finally settling in to the offense and doing what he was brought here to do. Julian Edelman with a 118 passer rating on the day. If James White doesn't get tripped up, he would have had a perfect passer rating. But just it all around, it was just – if you're not a fan of football, that was not a fun game to watch, I'd say. But if you like watching football and like watching two quarterbacks that know how to work the field, that was a really fun game.
I honestly – I guess as Patriots fans, we never sweat it, right? You know, it's never over till it's over type of thing. 17-17 going to the fourth quarter, and I really wasn't that worried. I felt like we had the momentum anyways. I felt like the Packers had no run game whatsoever, and Rodgers didn't look the greatest. I think he only completed like 50% or 55% of his passes. So,
yeah, he was 24-43.
Yeah, okay, yeah, so like 55, maybe that math works out. So, and another awesome, you know, we don't have freaking Sony Michel, and you got a wide receiver taking 11 carries. Cordarrelle
Patterson he's been a highlight of this team this year, and if you would have told me that at the beginning of the season, I would not have believed you.
You there, Sheehan?
Yeah, I'm just listening, I'm just chilling.
Sheehan's been chilled out over there.
I'm a little distracted.
He's a
right
little
now.
Too chilled.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, but I thought I posed this question the other day is like, okay, you have Sony Michel and you have James White, and both of them aren't very big backs. You know, on third down, when you're really wanting to run the ball, you know, do you put Patterson in there? Because it seemed like nobody could really touch him to begin with, and let alone he broke multiple tackles through the night.
Like, with what you said on that he, like, Sony Michel and James White aren't the biggest guys. I agree with that. And Cordero Patterson, I think, could end up being that third or fourth down back when we really need someone if we have to go for it. Dude, Sony Michel can run over people.
Like, oh, yeah, that dude. Yeah, he's scary awesome.
Strong.
What was up with him? Is it still – he's going to be good for this next upcoming week, right?
I'm pretty sure.
I think he could have played this game, and they – I think he was going to want to – he said he wanted to play this game, but they were like, nah.
Yeah, because they evaluated Gronk and Sony, like, hours before the game, and they determined they were no-goes. So they kind of got screwed out.
That's crazy. And I don't even think this was one of Brady's – you know, I think that overall the I mean, everything was very consistent, and there's no, like – I mean, there was one stretch there where they got the ball back and they went three and out two times in a row, but it wasn't like mistakes weren't being made, but I still think it wasn't Brady's like greatest of games. I mean, he only 294 for in a touchdown. So, you know, we've seen a lot better performances than that. Mm-hmm. It just helps out when you got Cordell Patterson running the ball like he was and Julie Edelman throwing passes to James White.
Yes, it was just overall, like, it was a Patriots football game. No one did too much or tried to do too much. Everyone went out there and did what they could, and it ended up working out.
So, Aaron Rodgers, let's make sure I have this right. Let's look at his game log. They're, what, they're 4-4-1 this year now?
I believe so. They are 3-4-1.
3-4-1?
Yep.
So, I think he's only, like, since he came back last year after when Brett Hundley was playing, he's, like, I want to say 8-8-1 now since that time. He hasn't done anything spectacular. I mean, the last thing we really saw from him was 2016 when they went to the playoffs and they beat Dallas in that big game in Green Bay in the cold.
Yep.
So Aaron Rodgers hasn't done really anything crazy.
They should have never brought him back last year.
Who, the Packers?
Yeah, the Packers should have never played Aaron Rodgers. The season was a loss anyway.
Yeah, what was up with that? Because they should have been like penalized by the league for not putting him on IR or putting him on IR and bring him back. I don't know quite what the ruling was.
I remember seeing something about that, but I'm not sure exactly what it was.
I'm sure it was something like really small tech. About. Yeah, what is that?
So, I guess, so once you're put on the IR, you can, like, come off at some point, but I don't think you can go on the IR twice. And I think that's what they were trying to say. And there's, like, somewhere in the rule book it says some dumb shit like that, but that's basically what happened, and they just got in trouble for it, but they didn't really get in trouble. Like, that's the thing, because, you know, it's the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and basically if you're not the Patriots, you're fine.
Right, you know, I think it was probably one of those
technically in the rule book it was saying that he should have been released for it. Because it's, like, illegal, I guess.
Yeah, because I think what they did was when they brought him back to play that one game, they took him off IR. And then when they lost that game and they were, like, officially eliminated from playoff contention, they tried to put him back on. I think that's what
it's,
it was.
Yeah,
it's really – it's, like, one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
We didn't hear a lot about it after it kind of wrapped up either. Like, nobody was really talking about it. There was, like, you know – here and there, they would have a little segment on it, or you just see it on Twitter.
Yeah, that I think it really the NFL really swept it under the rug because it was such a big name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but either way, Rodgers hasn't looked. I mean, obviously, we've seen some like Rodgers comebacks, and it's awesome. But over the since 2016, after that season ended. Then he got hurt. He hasn't been Aaron Rodgers, and also he hasn't had the pieces around him either. But I don't want to make that excuse because, you know, on the other end of the field, Tom Brady doesn't have half the people on the field to begin with in the first place. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard to make a case for Aaron Rodgers these past couple of years, but everybody likes to hype him up extremely, like, this dude is the greatest to ever live. He's like Dan Marino. Once he retires, like, he'll kind of like fade farther back in like the list.
It's because he makes exciting plays that look good on Twitter. Like, that's everyone...
he does. He makes great plays.
Oh yeah, I'm not taking away from that, but what looks better and what makes a better argument? Throw in a 50-yard bomb to win the game that your receiver somehow comes down with, or a 2-minute drive of taking short passes and getting out of bounds and putting your team in a position to win and not having to take a chance.
Yeah, I mean, coolest though.
The Rodgers, was the most bullshit play I've ever seen in my life.
No, it was,
but it's exactly what you guys are saying. It's just like, you know, he's just hucking it up there and hoping for the best. You know what I mean? But yeah, it did.
I'm not taking away
from Rodgers either. I think he's amazing, but like, even like, I know we're not on the subject right now, but like, even putting him in like the conversation with like being the GOAT is just like so dumb. It's like, at this point, if you don't notice who the GOAT is, you're just either one, you're a hater of the Patriots, two, you're just oblivious to everything that is football.
Yeah,
and
if
three,
people like to say,
you're
like,
an idiot.
Okay,
I don't know. If you don't think Brady's the GOAT,
you're
just dumb
in that
as well.
System, he would do just as great, if not greater. But okay, if that's so okay, let's think about that then. When systems work, people, you know, other teams copy the system if it works. I mean, like the West Coast offense. Mm-hmm. Remember when the Wildcat became huge, you know, and swept the league for a couple years? The Patriots have been this system, whatever system it's called, it's just Tom Brady's system, I guess, or Belichick's system, has been around for 20 years now. Right?
And so every time someone tries, they fail.
Why can't someone implicate this system if it's, you know, if it's just so easy to do? Why can't Rodgers just – it doesn't work like that. It's not Belichick making Brady good. Belichick before the Patriots – I'm not saying Belichick's not a great coach, but Belichick for the Patriots, he was a loser with the Browns. He was a loser for the Giants for a little bit. He did get a Super Bowl there as an assistant coach. But before then, this whole system thing wasn't a thing until Tom Brady became the quarterback.
I think Tom Brady makes Bill Belichick great, and Bill Belichick makes Tom Brady great. Without each other, there is no system.
Yeah, like, so this whole...
Yeah, no, I'm completely.
You can't say
that.
If it's the system, you can't tell me that you can throw Dak Prescott over in the Patriots system, and he's gonna go 8 Super Bowls.
I completely get what you're saying, but say that Brady is like, just say that Rodgers is Brady for a second, right? And he did the same thing. Like, say that, like, that system was already in place. That's what I'm trying to say. Say, like, if he had a similar system, I could see him doing, like outstanding numbers. I get what you're saying. Like Brady started the system.
If you're saying Rodgers
played like that, you know what I mean?
Why doesn't other teams have this system then? They're not doing anything new. They're not doing anything
crazy. And
it's two
completely different play styles.
I understand. I don't think you're getting my point. Like, I'm saying Rodgers was Tom Brady, he would do just as well as Brady. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean.
No, I know you hate what ifs.
The same thing could be said with if
you put. You understand what I'm saying, right?
Drew Brees on the Patriots. Oh my gosh!
But it's two different. They're playing two different styles. When's the last time you seen Tom Brady really huck a ball 50 yards down the field?
True, but Brees is a lot. I'd say Brees is a lot closer to Brady than Rodgers is.
I say Brees is the second man up.
Yeah,
I mean stats wise, even if you go look at Brees' limited playoff stats. and just kind of compare him and then, you know, predict if he did play that many games, they're better than Brady.
Oh, yeah.
Which is hard to think because Brady threw for freaking 500 yards in a freaking Super Bowl, and you're going to tell me Drew Brees' stats are better? It's true.
Brady's never really been the stat quarterback. He's like, I don't know.
Well, he used to be. Well, not like try to like get stats, but I mean, there's been a couple seasons where he's just blown the roof off the fucking house.
Yeah, like I'm trying to think of a comparison because like Montana was always the championship quarterback, mm-hmm. and that's what Brady is. I'm trying to think of who I could compare Brees to. I guess someone like Marino or Elway.
Yeah, he could be a Marino. Yeah, it's just the. And like I said, the Brees just gets so unlucky in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, like if you're trying to say that,
oh my gosh,
that Vikings game last year was on Brees.
I was watching the last play. You know, I always like because you never know what the hell is going to happen. I couldn't believe that freaking happened. Like, I don't think Drew Brees probably didn't believe it happened until the next day.
I couldn't believe that happened. I've never seen anything so embarrassing in my life. Like, it's not like it's a hard tackle.
And either way,
it's not a hard tackle at all. The guy's up in the air, he's coming down. All you got to do is stand there and take him out. How hard is that?
Anyway, like, and they only had two guys over there. They should have had every single guy. They should have six guys, you know, playing prevention, and they still somehow. Because, I mean, he ran for 30 yards after that. It's not like he freaking...
Oh, yeah, it wasn't, like, into the end zone. It was...
That's what I'm saying.
That was just poor defense. And Drew Brees, once again, was screwed out of going to the NFC Championship.
Yeah, but Rodgers and Brady, I mean, it's not even like Brady, like, won the matchup. You know, just Tom Brady's team won.
Yeah, like, we'll never... get that answer probably.
We'll never get that satisfaction.
Because like that's all I've wanted for the past couple of years. Win or loss for Tom Brady. I want a Brady Brees and a Brady Rodgers Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, but we'll never get a
Brady Rodgers because McCarthy likes to choke in the playoffs and isn't very good at play calling like that.
You would hope so, but the Rams do look really good. And the Chiefs look really good.
Chiefs, Andy Reid. Andy Reid.
The Rams. The Rams look really, really good.
He looks like Clifford. Andy Reid and Sean McVay. And Sean Payton.
I would love to say the Chiefs would go to the Super Bowl. With all the talent they have on offense, just remember who their coach is. I would love to say the Packers will go to the Super Bowl.
Andy Reid isn't the worst.
Andy Reid's a Super Bowl. He's a Super Bowl winner.
He can't manage time.
Yeah, but so is McCarthy. They can't manage. Yeah, they both won a Super Bowl. That's great. But like, you know, Andy Reid has been known for years to choke in the playoffs. McCarthy, since the Packers won the Super Bowl, has been known for years to choke in the playoffs. Doesn't matter the talent they have on their team. They're just not going to make it to the Super Bowl. I can't say they will. As hot as the Chiefs are right now, I the farthest they go.
Hey, what do y'all think about the Jags this year? They're just awful.
Blake Bortles is Blake Bortles again.
I felt like he was Blake Bortles last year too, and they did that well.
Yeah, but he wasn't as Blake Bortles as he is now.
How it's a verb.
Oh yeah, Blake Bortles is awful.
Or an adjective.
It is horrible. Like I don't know. Like, and they traded away one of their DN. I think it was Dante Fowler.
Yeah.
Junior. So like, I don't know what their play is with that, but
yeah, it was
their only chance of pulling the season back is if Blake Bortles somehow shows up.
And who's it? Houston is in that. Yeah, I think Houston's leading that.
Houston, Tennessee, and the Jags.
Houston is.
Yeah, they just. Yeah,
Deshaun Watson looks healthy.
He does.
Houston has turned it around, though.
Line, and they don't have a running game, and he gets knocked around more than any quarterback in the entire league. Like, he's going to get hurt.
Him and Russell Wilson are going to die.
Yeah, like, they got to protect him. Like,
I feel the most bad for Russell Wilson. He does not deserve what he is getting.
Oh, Russell Wilson hasn't gotten what he deserved in since.
No, no, Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
they treated him like crap.
Yeah, he needs to get out of Seattle.
He does not deserve what he is getting at the moment. He's like, I feel like he's not even talked about. I feel like he's not even talked about that
he
much
doesn't
anymore.
Have anybody over there
and
besides
it's just kind
Doug
of
Baldwin.
BS because he's such
not
a good
even saying
TV.
A lot.
He really is. I know. That's the
does yeah he.
That's the sad part about it. That's what I'm saying. He doesn't deserve what he has.
They screwed up. They went all in. That's what happened. They went all in, at early in 2013, 2014, and even 2015, and the money dried up, and things failed, and people had to be let go, and. It hasn't been pretty there in a minute, but they still like. I mean, when you see Seattle on the schedule, you see an exciting game.
Oh yeah, Russell Wilson always makes it interesting, but he can only do so much when his offensive line is a wet paper bag.
it's so bad. It really is, and he's gonna get hurt again. Like I hate to say it, but and he's so freaking good too. Like because he's one of those guys that can stand. Yeah, oh, man. He does. But where would he go? Like, who wants
– You know.
Who – yeah.
Dak Prescott's not going to be in Dallas much longer.
Nah, he will.
They, I don't – dude.
They really like him.
Yeah.
No, oh, they just – didn't something come out today saying that Dak was going to sign an extension?
Honestly, probably the smartest
thing
Jason
Garrett and Dak Prescott were on thin ice.
Nah, it's Jason Garrett on –
No, not what I saw. What I saw today was that Jerry Jones wants to keep Dak Prescott around, and Jason Garrett is, like, safe for now. That's what I saw. That was the quote. Jason Garrett is safe. Jason Garrett should have been gone, like, 10 years ago. Like, I don't even know when he started coaching.
Well, he wasn't even supposed to be the head coach of the Cowboys. Just some things fell through with the Cowboys. I forget who it was.
He just kind of got put there.
Yeah, I forget who it was, but he – He wanted God, this is going to sound crazy. What is his name? But he told Jerry Jones, I want who's from Carolina, the coach of Carolina?
Ron Rivera.
Yeah, he wanted Ron Rivera to come in. And then he wanted – because these were his assistant coaches before. He's worked with them before. And he wanted who else was it? I forget the other guy. I think it was it's one of these high profile coaches, and Jerry Jones was like, "No, we can't do that." And so he was like, "I can't take this head coaching position then." And so they were kind of screwed because they already announced it, and then basically Garrett got – I mean, then Wade Phillips got the job. Like, they just moved Wade Phillips up, and then Jason Garrett ended up coming in after that. But the Cowboys.
Hello.
What?
Were you cut out?
No, we all lagged out.
Oh, man. Either way, Jason Garrett should have never been in that position to be coaching that team anyway, and he's done such an awful job with it. It's not Dak Prescott, because Dak Prescott definitely has the talent. I mean, we've seen it. He went 13-3. You don't just do that on a whim.
Yeah.
So I just think it's one, their play call selection is awful, and two,
their entire coaching staff is
– they're just such a joke.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? They've been on TV – they've been on national television more times than the Patriots have in the past 20 years.
Yeah, because they're quote-unquote America's team, but they haven't been anything since the 90s.
That's what I'm saying. They've only won two playoff games since 96.
They're an
embarrassing team. And both of those are wild card games that they won.
Yeah, they're embarrassing. They're a joke. They're so overhyped. Yeah. Dak Prescott's so overhyped. Jason Garrett.
No, Dak Prescott isn't over. I mean, he might be a little overhyped, but he's a really good quarterback.
I think he's overhyped.
I think if you put the right pieces around him, he could be great.
He had one of the – I think he had the single best rookie season in for quarterbacks in the NFL besides
what's he done since then?
I mean, you got to remember Zeke last year got suspended six games, which then he was like on and off, and then like half of their defense was gone, and things weren't good. And then this year, Jason Witten dips out to be the worst announcer ever.
No,
and they let Dez Bryant go. Zeke is underperforming. The offensive line is not the powerhouse it used to be because they're missing Travis Frederick because he's got that autoimmune disease that's going on. So, like, Dak Prescott hasn't been put in the best of situations, and that's the management's fault as well, you know.
I don't know. I think right now he's overhyped.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything.
When he starts winning again and he comes back, I want him to prove me wrong. I love when people prove me wrong.
Yeah, because at the end of the first quarter yesterday, it was 7-7 on Monday Night Football, and then it really should have been 24-0. They had a missed field goal, and then they had the ball in the red zone twice, and they couldn't connect. I think somebody fumbled, but it should have been 24-0.
Marcus Mariota had that all. He had that awful throw, dude.
Yeah, he was trying to force
Kevin Byard to the TO.
In double coverage.
Kevin Byard ran out to the star. Oh.
Oh, that was awesome.
I thought he was going to die.
That was some awesome. Everybody's just bringing back old, you know, things.
Yeah, Michael Thomas did the Joe Horn.
Yeah. I thought that was awesome, though. But when T.O. did it, he got smacked.
Yeah. Like, I was honestly surprised that Byard didn't.
Yeah, that was kind of like a middle school fight. I was kind of surprised. If you're going to go over there and protect your logo, at least just knock the guy
out.
Yeah,
he just went over there and kind of like, hey, man, stop it.
You stop that now.
Man, I needed to see A.J. Green versus our
That's our star.
I needed an A.J. Green Jalen Ramsey fight for that.
A.J. Green's out for a little bit. He's on my fantasy. I don't like that at all.
Might be out. They might be getting – I saw something that might be getting rid of him.
What?
Where'd you see that?
I don't want to just drop the bomb right there. I'm almost positive I saw something today because he's been hurt, or he is hurt, and I don't really know. I think it's kind of something serious, and so they're just thinking about offloading
him
and seeing what they can get for him.
I have not seen that at all. But if they do, it says he won't need toe surgery.
Plus, they're not doing the best this year.
Oh my God. I'm so happy I searched him right now. You know who the Bengals have who I'm so excited to see just go
John
in?
Ross.
Yep.
He's going to be either
–
he's either going to be one of the biggest busts that the Bengals have ever had, or he's going to be amazing.
Is he that –
There's
cool,
no
– like that super quick –
He broke
dude?
The record.
That's why – okay, yeah.
He broke the 40.
Why was I thinking he was with the Ravens?
You're thinking of John Brown.
If you put this guy on the right team, God.
Are they using him as a slot guy?
Well, he's going to be outside now.
He's not that
he
big, though, isn't he?
Before. He's decently I think he's like 6'1", 6'2". Oh, he's 5'11", never mind.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I thought he was a little small. But, I mean, he could still play the outside. I mean, they don't really have anybody
especially with his speed.
With A.J. Green out. Andy Dalton's been another one of those quarterbacks that's been, like, he's, like, he'll have, like, a couple of one or two bad games a season. But other than that, like, he's, like, a statistic anomaly?
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy that he has had, like, the success that he has had with basically only A.J. Green his entire career.
Only A.J. Green.
Andy Dalton won't win in the playoffs. So.
I mean, the Bengals can't get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And when they do get there, they can't win anyway, so it doesn't matter. That's another joke of a coach. Marvin Lewis.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's such a joke.
He's supposed to get fired.
He's such a joke.
John Harbaugh, too.
Oh, man. He's a tough case.
Yeah, Lewis was supposed to – he was supposed to get fired, and then they re-signed him, which was the dumbest move ever. There's so many better coaches out there.
So
than
are we putting in our applications for NFL coaching jobs at this point? They're taking just about anyone, it seems like.
Oh, hell no. I don't even want to be a part of that.
I mean, if John Gruden can get a 10-year, $100 million guarantee
to trade away one of the best.
You know what? I wouldn't really sleep on John Gruden. I think he's planning. Obviously, he's planning for the future. But if you look at the timeline he has, they gave him 10 years. What's the point of trying to win now if they gave him 10 years? He notices that. Listen.
Shut up before I slap you across the face, man.
Do that. Either way, it works. But he saw, right, with Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, I saw some, like, very strange stat. When both Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack play, they have, like, a losing record.
That's not
they're,
correlated.
Like, 500 or something like
that's
that.
That's not correlated at all.
I mean, I wouldn't put all my
– Well, they're 1-7 this year.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with you. I one, it kind of – he got
– I don't know. I think he's trying to play a little bit of money ball here. I think if you're putting all your money into Khalil Mack, that's great. You have the best defensive player in the league, but is – that gonna help you in the long run? I think he's trying to like figure out the future rather than what is now.
Yeah,
and
you're
100%
right.
You know,
it's
yeah.
just when you get a 10-year, $100 million contract to the public, everybody expects you. Oh, that dude's coming in to make us win right now. But if you think about what they got, 3 or 4 first-round draft picks next year, they got a ton of money.
Yeah.
That they're gonna be able to.
Yeah,
use.
That's what I'm saying.
And it's looking like they may get one of the top five.
Yeah, exactly. They got a ton of money they've cleared up. Derek Carr, for the most part, I mean, I think we could say he's a decently
– He's a solid
yeah,
QB.
They don't have
I
a
like
running game
there,
right? Yeah, it did. They don't have a running game there. And they brought in Gruden to change the organization because 2016, that was like a fluke. Like, that just happened. That was like a lucky happening. Their team – they were going to be good that year and then they weren't going to be good after, and that's exactly what happened. But they're expecting him
to
be good once they go over to Vegas.
Yep.
They want him to be able to make that jump. That's why they got him for Vegas. Like, he screams Vegas.
That haircut screams Vegas.
I think people just got to remember, like, John Gruden is a very, very smart, like, football mind. Like, he has a very smart mind, like, very good IQ.
Yeah, he won a
like,
Super Bowl.
I think – yeah. I think he just – is noticing something like I see like even like the day he traded Khalil Mack, I was like, this guy's an idiot. Like this
that
guy's
a
dumbass.
Dumb
and then
no, let's not say no. no let's no. not to act like
it's a yeah, dumb okay. move. It's a dumb move. I'm saying it's a dumb move. I just said that. But then I look back at it and I'm like, you know, it's dumb. But if he's gonna use that to you know like spread the wealth throughout the team a little bit and try to fix other areas, then go ahead. Like why not? Because honestly, you can find a linebacker to fill in that role. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, a prolific linebacker, but you can find someone.
No.
I think –
You can't
– Come on now.
Tell me – Mack has been the best defensive player all year, better than Donald.
Yeah, no, I know that.
And so there's not some –
I'm aware
some
of that.
Guy you can just plug in that will get you somewhere close to what he does.
All right, then why can't the Patriots do it? You go out and get Kyle Van Noy. Why is Kyle Van Noy low-key one of the best linebackers in the league
but
right now?
Comparing Kyle Van Noy to
Khalil Mack,
or like one.
I'm not.
Kinda,
I'm just saying.
The linebacker
you can get it.
The
you can.
They kind of like intertwine now. That you know, defensive ends can they drop back now and whatnot. But
yeah.
you can't compare Khalil Mack. You can compare him to Wise or Claiborne, which aren't. The greatest. Wise has had a pretty good season, but he's not done nothing Khalil Mack done. Or you can't even compare him to J.J. Watt or Jadeveon Clowney or Aaron Donald or none of those guys. You can't just plug somebody. You're telling me you could just plug somebody in for J.J. Watt and he could give you similar
right.
stats?
So I never said I was comparing Kyle Van Noy to Khalil Mack. My point I'm trying to make is you can still find a good linebacker to fill in that role. It's about building around. It's like you can't just like invest. You can't invest in one role. You just can't invest all your time in one role. That's like honestly, like I don't think that's how it works. Like, look at what the Patriots do. They find a couple good guys and then they build around it, right?
Yeah,
Khalil they find Mack a couple good guys and build around it. But
I still think
you can find someone else to put in his role. I still think you can find someone else to put in his role. I mean, I just think John Gruden. Oh my fucking God! I can't fucking speak. I know what I'm trying to say. I'm just so, like, can't say it right now. John Gruden, in my opinion, somewhat did the right thing because you give up Khalil Mack, you get all of that, you kind of get, like, a lot in return, right? You can find someone to fill in that linebacker role, and then you can just build throughout the team. I know what I'm trying to say. No. I just can't say it.
I get what you're trying to say.
I think he's trying to do what the Patriots did with Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins. The only problem with it is the Patriots already had a system built around that. And John Gruden has not built that system yet. I think if he can build that from this trade, it could end up being one of the better trades in recent history. But he will forever be remembered of whether this trade builds a franchise out of the Raiders or if they're still just at the bottom of the AFC West.
To put that out there, in no way do I think Kyle Van Noy is Khalil Mack. I just want to put that out there. That's not what I was trying to say because there are two completely different players and Khalil Mack's in a different tier. But like the point I'm trying to make is just –
dude, when Khalil Mack listens
to this, you can find someone. You can find someone for that role. You can find someone for that role.
I mean, you can find people that are going to be decent. But, like, okay, Khalil Mack was on the Patriots.
Oh, gosh.
And we could afford to give him that money.
That just wouldn't be fair.
But we could afford to give him that money, just like the Raiders could afford to give him that money. Do you? Or do you say, nah, let's let Camille lock. We can lock him up for a long time, or we can just let him go because we think we can find someone that can, you know, put up a majority of his stat line.
Yeah, and you already
because it's not like the Raiders. It's not like the Raiders didn't have the money. You know, they had the money to give him.
Yeah,
it was just during a rebuilding process.
John Gruden did. I think he did it a little bit too early. I think if you gave, I don't. But Khalil Mack,
there was a lot of drama that surrounded that situation too.
Yeah, no one was happy in the Raiders organization.
Nobody was talking to each other. It was like a big old drama, like. He didn't text me to tell me hello when he was the coach, like some dumb stuff like that. I'm like, y'all are grown men and get paid millions of dollars. Y'all don't have to be texting each other little heart faces.
Honestly.
All right. Okay. Well, I just kind of lagged out and I come back to hearing men sending heart faces to each other. What's this?
Oh, that we heard you lagged out and then you somehow came back in when we were talking crap about you.
Yeah, for sure.
But we were talking about how that situation was with Khalil Mack and Gruden and the Raiders was kind of like a lot of drama involved around it and how, you know, they weren't talking to each other and whatnot. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, there was just a lot more that surrounded that situation that we probably won't get to know about besides nobody was, you know, kissing each other's ass.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's very, you don't really see a massive trade happen like that often. I do think it was dumb, but at the same time, I kind of see what Gruden's trying to do with it. So,
I mean, either way, they weren't winning this season.
No, there's no, that, I think he realized that too, but, I kind of understand what Gruden's trying to do with it. It's dumb because it's Khalil Mack. But if you're looking at it from a rebuilding standpoint, who knows? And we don't know what happened behind the scenes either. And I don't know.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. And plus it's so hard in the NFL because the NFL cap is one of the best caps, I mean, around, you know, the sport world, like NBA-wise and MLB. You know, it's the best at keeping – the league honest, basically. So, but another crazy week in the NFL. What else we got planned on the agenda?
The only other thing I want to talk about real quick, so this doesn't go too long, is Floyd Mayweather is fighting a world champion undefeated kickboxer. And it is going to be a kickboxing match Not a boxing match.
It is a kickboxing match, really.
So, Floyd Mayweather has the big fight against Conor McGregor, obviously, and he makes a big deal about it being boxing rules, which I get. Floyd Mayweather would have to be suicidal to step into an octagon with Conor McGregor.
Thank you.
So it's a boxing fight.
Huge Conor McGregor. Kickboxing. This one is kickboxing.
Why is he doing this?
I have no idea. It has to be about money because him and Pacquiao are planning for Mayweather-Pacquiao 2. And Manny Pacquiao came out after the fight became official with, I don't remember the guy's name. It was Tenshin Nasukawa. He's 20 years old. But Manny Pacquiao came out after and said that the fight is still happening and that it's a big possibility in 2019.
Why? That's so dumb. First off, I'm not going to pay to watch a freaking Mayweather kickboxing fight against a guy that I've never heard of in my life. And nobody wants to – I mean, Pacquiao and Mayweather, that's over. Y'all are old. Y'all done it 400 times. And and the last fight was terrible between them. So,
yep.
And then he did all this huge patenting on 50-0. I'm 50-0. You know, I'm never fighting again. I'm going out on top. Blah 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 blah. And then here he is, a year later.
Yeah, but I honestly don't know if this fight is about money or not, because usually that's like his big thing. Like he always comes out and says like how much he's making and stuff, and he has not done that yet. Mm-hmm. I think that I don't know why he would want to do it when he's this old, but it almost seems like he's trying to expand into other combat sports.
Why? He's old.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why go kickboxing when you could fight Pacquiao again, get your payday?
I'm going to be honest, like, I'm so, like, up to date on, like, all the big events and shit. I did not hear about this until yesterday.
Well, I think it just came out a couple of days ago.
Yeah, he posted on Instagram recently. Like,
yeah, it's so weird. Like,
I'm excited for it because I want to see if Mayweather can adapt to kick. Because everything that I've seen has said that it's kickboxing. And the gloves that he's wearing are kickboxing or MMA gloves.
I don't know. Like, it's just going to be one of those weird. Honestly, it's freaking. Boxing isn't. This is my personal opinion, but boxing has come and gone. It was great while it lasted, but UFC is here to stay, and it's going to extremely eclipse boxing. There's way more skill that goes into it.
Don't tell me that boxing is still up there. Just do not tell me boxing is the same. Boxing is so gone.
I don't know about so gone.
Yeah.
All right, tell me.
Think about it. UFC has an event almost every month, it feels like, and they're always putting what the people want, what fights the people actually want up there. Every once in a while, they'll have that huge mega fight, but two or three times a year, they have that big mega fight in the UFC. But in boxing, it seems like you got to wait once a year to have a freaking trilogy match of Triple G and Canelo, like,
well,
or Mayweather, Pacquiao.
The UFC fights are usually the UFC fights are very entertaining too. Like, it's not like one guy's very good and the other guy's like decent. Like, they're both very good fighters.
There's
so many different
kinds of martial arts that are thrown into UFC. That the skill. I mean, not saying boxing's easy. Fighting is hard.
Yeah, dude, I couldn't. Fuck yeah. No, fuck that.
Like, I'm not going to – I mean, if you paid me $100 million to get in the ring, then yeah, I'm going to go get my ass whooped.
100%. Oh, I take that Floyd punch every day.
I'm down with that. I'm down with getting KO'd, like, whatever. But there's so much more intensity, and that's boxing's fault because UFC gives you the fights you want to see, and they give you the entertainment that's crazy. And boxing, they don't give you those fights that you want. And when you finally do get those fights, it's one – every year, one every couple years, you know? And it's been Canelo and Triple G. That's all it's been. Then you had Pacquiao Mayweather, which was terrible.
Well,
that fight was watching paint dry.
Deontay Wilder is getting ready to fight Tyson Fury, and then probably in March, he's going to be fighting Anthony Joshua. And that is going to be – that'll be better than any Mayweather fight, probably. Because it's too
Mayweather fights suck.
Oh, no. Mayweather fights are technical.
I mean, yeah, he plays the sport as technically as you can get. He's all about getting his points. But I'm saying they're boring. In the aspect of fighting, they're boring.
I can see that argument. I just
it's because he's such a defensive fighter. That's why.
Yeah.
He waits for you. He lets you come on the attack.
And then he's gonna come get his jabs and get his points.
It takes forever. Yeah.
I mean, it's, I don't blame him. Not the dude's 50-0. Like, what? He's a winner. Like, it's just not the. I mean, 10 years ago, Mayweather was. 15 years ago, Mayweather was gangster.
I'd say he still is, especially after just like he didn't. I wouldn't say he manhandled Conor McGregor, but in the later rounds, he just showed that he still has it.
Oh, I mean, but come on, we're really gonna count that as a fight?
I would. It's one of the best fighters in the world.
Boxing's not what it used to be. How about that?
I'd agree with that.
It's not like Holyfield, Tyson, Foreman. When those guys just show up and absolutely kill each other, it's not like that at all anymore. I think that's the point Sam's trying to make.
Yeah,
that's the point I'm trying to make.
And that's because there's not a lot of like iconic people in the sport anymore. Like, there's not a lot of people you can wrap your franchise around, basically, you know, and make money off of. Besides these very few limited guys like Triple G, like Canelo, Mayweather,
and it's just like how football is becoming, how they want to get paid so much and they only want to go so many times because their body's on the line, which I get. Like, you don't want to get hurt at fighting once a month and end up like breaking your spine or snapping your
neck. Oh yeah, no, that's not healthy, but people can fight more than once a year. I mean, these camps don't have to be 6-month camps. You know, that's UFC fighters sometimes have, like, that first Nate Diaz fight, when Nate Diaz won, was on a 1-month camp. That's because and Nate Diaz still won. In that second fight, Nate Diaz was hurt and trained on a 1-month camp also and almost won that fight.
McGregor also had a torn ACL in one of his fights.
Should have put some Vagisil on it. I'm not a big McGregor fan.
I'm a big McGregor guy.
Don't talk about my fucking dog like that.
I mean, he's
a namesake.
I mean, his story's awesome, but the way he acts is annoying. He acts like freaking
for the pride of the fucking country.
He acts like he's the Irish Mayweather.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, he's definitely seen as a fucking god in Ireland. That's
for
sure.
Yeah, he was a freaking plumber before that, right?
Yeah, he's
like working three jobs.
Like, really do anything.
He was like a
bum. He was collecting what's it called? Collecting welfare? What's it called?
I don't know. Welfare and Irish money.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, like equivalent. It was like $250. It is what he was collecting. Like, I don't know, like a week or I don't know. It was something dumb. It was something low as hell.
Yeah, I mean, either way, this Mayweather kickboxing thing that he's trying to do,
it's gonna be interesting to see if it goes through.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna like go pay pay-per-view for it or nothing, but I'll definitely watch the highlights, see what the hype is about.
Yep. But other than that, guys, that is going to be it for episode 3, unless Sheehan or Sam, you got anything else to add?
No, I'm about to be like Sheehan and get on my chill.
You stop that right now.
All right, well.
You got distracted by trying to be an academic now.
Hey, I'm about to go get my doctorate. Y'all are going to have to be calling me Dr. Greenberg.
That's not going to happen, and you know that.
It might.
Good for you for going to get your doctorate. We're not calling you Dr. Greenberg.
Oh, no, see, it just left.
All right, okay, man. Guys. Well, make sure you go check out WeThePeopleSports.com and the We The People Sports store, and just tell Joe and everyone on Twitter that we sent you. And make sure you check out Sam and myself on Twitter, and just spread the news, get this out to your friends, and get involved with us on Twitter, and let us know what you want to hear from the show. But other than that, this has been episode 3 of The Prophecy, and we will see you guys either later this week, potentially, for another episode, or next Tuesday. Till later. Peace.